Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Happy Wednesday night. Lots of NFL, lots of NBA to get to. First off, want to say, of course, all our thoughts with Louisville right now. After today, grand jury deciding not to charge officers with killing Breonna Taylor, or the lack of a decision to charge officers. There's protesters gathering in Louisville tonight. Our thoughts are with everybody there, and hopefully things can go as well as they can be, and we're not talking about something that gets completely out of control. So all our thoughts with everyone in Louisville. It's a very difficult time right now, and just want you to know that our thoughts are not far away, as most NBA players' thoughts are not far away either, as they opined on everything today you saw going along with Breonna Taylor and the decision.
Well, and as you see it flow, you've got two police officers shot, according to a report from MSNBC, some 22 minutes ago.
Oh,
so certainly escalating to something larger. Wherever you are, I bid you safety and some level of peace. Hopefully we'll be able to entertain you over here the next 4 hours. Lots of sports to talk about, but certainly trying to wrap our arms around the case. As you said, it was a jury, so coming back and the decision that was made, I know there's a lot of unrest over it. And, you know, according to the Kentucky law, this was the attorney general. The use of force justified to protect themselves. This justification bars us from pursuing criminal charges. So now you wait to see how it flows from there. But certainly a lot of angry people, a lot of emotional people across this country, and another, you know, flashpoint in what has been a tumultuous 2020.
Yes, another very difficult day, and again, all our thoughts with Louisville and everyone else, because, listen, there's no way to get around this news and what we saw today. But our business is sports, as it always is, and, you know, I've got my fingers crossed, Mike Harmon. I got my fingers crossed right now because, you know, we've been able to talk about him a decent amount, but he's always been part of the conversation when we talk about my Heat, because, you know, I picked the Heat to go to the NBA Finals, you know, right before the playoffs started. And, you know, of the big conversations we have, we talk about the Miami Heat bench and how good it is and how they have a lot of guys. But Tyler Hero has become the Miami bench. You know, as time has gone on, there's not a lot of points, not a lot of stats out there for anybody else because he's getting them all. And he had a phenomenal first half for the Heat, who go into the third quarter with a 6-point lead right now, 50-44, as Tyler Hero, 15 points off the bench, 6 out of 10 from the floor, because you know what I'm waiting is to be able to do stuff like this. TJ, Miami looking, and finally a Hero comes along. TJ.
Wow.
TJ. Eric Spoelstra hoping.
Who is that? Who sings that? Is that Mariah Carey?
And then a Hero comes along. And then, yeah, that's Mariah Carey.
Okay, I'm just making sure for those that might not know that.
Yeah. Well, with Guy Hawk, I got a whole bunch of them. I mean, I got Ed, TJ, Tyler hoping to be your hero, baby.
Guys.
I mean, then we get that. And then we also get Eric Spoelstra hoping that Tyler can be a hero just for one day, TJ. I mean, there's so many of them.
Wow. I'm holding out for a hero has to follow in short order. Look, 15 points. This kid's a star, right?
TJ, I mean, he's got to be good. He's got to be strong. And he's got to make some threes in the second half.
He's ready to fight, and he certainly has battled through. He's scrappy going after loose balls. Had 5 rebounds in the first half. I think the best play, though, was they came up and D'd on him. Ball kind of gets kicked around. Defender goes flailing. He picks it back up. Nobody collapses on him, so he calmly just shoots a little jump shot and hits it and moves on, looking around like, why did nobody come and guard me once I secured the ball? But that's the way it is. I mean, he averaged 13.5 per game in the regular season and the restart, and having a whale of a series here. I mean, he's become a star here in Orlando.
Not so much, TJ, a jukebox, but a full court hero for the Miami Heat, TJ. Look, the thing about Tyler Herro, here's your friendly reminder that he went 13th overall in the draft last year. 13, when he's arguably been the third best rookie in the draft class, right? Behind Zion and behind John Morant. He has never met a shot he has been afraid of.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Because look, when you go to Kentucky, it's that rule that you can only play 30 games and you have to go to the NBA. But I don't want to go. You have to go. I got 30 games for you, John Calipari says. And then that's it. Then I don't know what we can do, but you got to go. Okay. And he has come in, and usually, hey, guys come in, try to find the role, it takes them time, and he has come in saying, I don't care, I will take big shots, I will do whatever I need to do, I'm coming in with absolutely zero fear. And that's the way he has played from the beginning. He's already played 18 minutes tonight, again leading the team in points with 15. And there's those nights, and we talk about it all the time, there's a bit of a pattern to NBA playoff series. When you go back and look at a series that ends, you go say, okay, where was the game or two here where the winning team had a big night, a huge night from somebody off their bench you weren't expecting it to be that big? And you point to those games and you see a team that wins that series. And certainly Tyler Herro is a really good player, but I mean, he could score 30 tonight. And as good as he is he a guy that you think could score 30? No, but tonight could be that night, and there's your outlier game, and you circle it. So for every team, every playoff series, you have your stars play at one level, but where's that game or two where, boy, somebody unaccounted for just absolutely went off? That's the difference between winning and losing. And in every single box score game, 7-game, 6-game, 5-game, whatever it is here, you see that, and tonight could be that night for Tyler Herro. For my Heat, because, you know, I picked the Heat to go to the finals before the playoffs started, against your Celtics.
Against
who
my
you picked
Celtics.
To go to the finals before the playoffs started.
I tried calling into the Laker locker room at halftime. Not to congratulate them, but to remind Jason Tatum to wake the blank up. 0 points in 19 minutes as we sit here on my television. Just over nine minutes remaining in the third quarter. Tatum 0-for-7 from the field in the first half. 0-for-4 from three. Did have 7 rebounds and 3 assists, but turned the ball over 4 times. Had 3 fouls. So a miserable, absolutely miserable. And I don't think the Lakers called to say that anybody had to have any extra foul shots in this game. But, you know, he got his 3 fouls. Sorry, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But 20 minutes played now, and a big goose egg in the scoring column for your leader, which means you've now seen the lead balloon as we get here into the third.
Now, I know you were kidding, but I'm pretty sure you would get fired if you really did try to call to the Celtics locker room to talk to Jason Tatum.
Why would I get fired?
Nah, I don't. I don't know.
I was going to try to do was just make sure he was awake.
You know, but
ask him if he was feeling okay, if he needed to get something off his mind.
I don't know.
You know, just
know,
that kind of thing, buddy.
No, I don't know.
All positive and encouraging.
Oh, no, I think they could have eased. Oh, no, that's like a fireable offense, right? I
mean, buddy, I'll just show positivity. Wait. Fireable? Are we really going to do this?
I would worry about that. You trying to call this? What if you got through to Brad Stevens? Hello? Hey, it's Harmon. Harmon!
look, and if he's picking up the phone, we got bigger problems.
This is Mike Harmon. You would say, that is right. And then he would go, oh, boy, Harmon's on the phone.
That would be the way I would yell it, just like
that. I know. I'd worry about you, buddy. That would be a tough thing if you actually did get through to the Celtics locker room at halftime.
Look, man, I'm all about trying to provide positivity and motivation. The 1-900 lose my ass, where people can watch me in abject misery as my hamstrings start to tighten up. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And likewise here, I'm just looking for a little more effort. That's all. I'm looking all right. for a contribution. And I wouldn't curse at him. I wouldn't be cross. I'd just try to ask and say, are you okay?
Now, I see, I think you would plan it that way, and then it would get out of control.
Well, only if he came with an attitude on the other end.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, yeah, I you would get attitude, of
it's
course.
It's all about how I'm received.
He would really say, I'm Jason Tatum. The other guy on the show, Jason Smith, he said really good things about me. He loves me. I know I'm a little bit inconsistent here, and I'm turning the ball over at the end of games, and I shouldn't, but you get out of my face, and then you would really get upset. I mean, that's when things get out of control, I think.
You think it would escalate quickly?
Oh, yeah. Because I got a feeling in a situation like that, you wouldn't be a slow escalator. You'd be a quick escalator. You'd be like one of those department store escalators that want to get you to the next level really fast so you could buy more stuff. You know, I got to get up there really
you
fast.
You can't fault a good strategy. I mean, that's true. But, you know, look, it's an emotional day. You talked about just making sure everybody's safe in cities across the country as we go. And I got punched in the face twice this morning, man. The passing of Gale Sayers, and then right on the heels of that, the Road Warrior Animal. You know me, I like a good face painting, and I'd ripped off his designs for years for Halloweens and other things. So, I mean, maybe that would get my fuse a little bit shorter in any conversation with Brad Stevens or Jason Tatum today.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. And really quick for a couple minutes on Gale Sayers, you know, Pro Football Hall of Famer who had his career cut short due to injury. Of course, his life and career became more famous with the very famous movie Brian Song with James Caan and Billy Dee Williams. It was about the friendship between Gale Sayers and Brian Piccolo, his teammate on the Bears who passed away due to a very aggressive form of cancer. A very famous movie of the 1970s, and that's really, you know, what people are talking about. I remember that. Billy Dee Williams put out a statement today about acting in the movie. James Caan put it out there. I mean, it was really something to see them talk about a movie that these guys did 50 years ago. I mean, really, they did this movie 50 years ago, and still you had great statements from James Caan and Billy Dee Williams. And just, you know, of all the things about Gale Sayers, and there's some people who are hearing his name for the first time, some people who remember some of the highlights they saw. This is a guy who really lost his career after 5 years because of bad knee injuries. And this is, you know, late 60s, early 70s. This guy was a five-time All-Pro player. He averaged 5 yards per carry. This is my favorite Gale Sayers story of all time because this I can't believe that actually happened. And it makes me believe in mind over medicine sometimes is that late in the 1968 season, he tore his ACL and his MCL. Right, so if you tear your ACL MCL late in the season, you're not coming back right away. You're not going to play right at the beginning of the next season. Remember Carson Palmer and the whole big comeback he tried to after his knee got shredded in the playoff game back in the early 2000s? You're not coming back to play. I mean, this is ACL MCL. You might miss the entire next season because it's so tough. Not only does he come back to play in 1969, he leads the NFL in rushing. So he tears his ACL and his MCL late in the season, comes back, and then leads the league in rushing the next year. I mean, a body should not be able to do that. And that's where sometimes I go, that's mind over medicine. That is, no, I'm okay. No, but you have a torn ACL, torn MCL. Yeah, but it really only affects me if I let it. And, I mean, to be able to go out there that fast and be that kind of marvel, that's some kind of story. I still can't get over about how well he was able to come back, and who knows what damage that did to him later on in his career, because he never really regained that form in 71 and 72, and so he had to retire very, very young. But to be able to come back like that's like great guy moments in history. I'm going to shred my knee, and then, you know, 6 months later I'm going to be back and go lead the league in rushing. That's some kind of achievement right there.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a guy that growing up in Chicago, I mean, obviously we had Walter Payton, but all the, you know, men in my family, my dad, my uncles, my grandpa, everybody, it was, this guy is the best player. It's him and Jim Brown, right, at the top of the class. And for Gale Sayers, obviously, it's a different time. You don't recover from knee injuries. So the story of, you know, coming back, averaging 4.4 per carry and being the only guy to go over 1,000 yards is just ridiculous, right? Relative to the time and space that we're in terms of recovery from those kind of injuries. But, you know, that he was the best, and then the comparisons to Barry Sanders when you watch the video clips and the quick jump cut, and once he was in the open field, you weren't catching him. So just amazing to go through some of those videos today. I know a lot of friends in media back in Chicago, that was their guy, man. That was their guy. So just a tough day in the city of Chicago there, losing a legend.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. It is the Heat with a 60-53 lead over the Boston Celtics. You do well to know, Mike Harmon, Jason Tatum has hit a three. He is now officially on the scoreboard for you. So at least talking about calling him on the phone at halftime, that seems to have spurred him on here in the second half.
Well, you know, we are on over 400 affiliates nationwide, Sirius XM Channel 83, FoxSportsRadio.com, the iHeartRadio app. I mean, we're everywhere. It's possible they're pumping that into the speakers there in the bubble right now. I don't have any audio on my TV, so how would I know any different?
AutoZone is America's number one battery destination. No matter what battery problems you're dealing with, you can find your battery solution at AutoZone. AutoZone offers free battery testing so that you don't spend money on something you don't actually need. AutoZone offers free battery charging if you're simply in need of a fresh charge. AutoZone has more ways you to stop for your battery needs, like same-day pickup, in-store or curbside. Next time you're having starting trouble, start at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up next, got a very special guest stopping by is, hey, we're really, really, really close to the end of the baseball season. What can we expect in the next couple of days?
I'm very,
what
very
can we
excited
expect
about
in
it.
The playoffs? Well, we're not going to see Tim Tebow. I know that.
I'm so excited.
Plus, we have more NBA, NFL. We have the Tyrod Taylor story that is insane. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Blue Evil Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended, odor-free pain relief from muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It is simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. In the NBA, maybe Mike Harmon's attempt to call the Celtics locker room at halftime in Orlando is working, as they have cut the Heat lead now to 3-69-66. Still a ton of time left in this. 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Jason Tatum, after a scoreless first quarter, now has six. He's got a couple of threes here in the third. Meanwhile, for the Heat, Jimmy Buckets has 17. Tyler Hero in 21 minutes with 15 off the bench. He has had a tremendous game so far for the Miami Heat. And I got a couple more for you real quick, Mike, just because
okay,
I think if I could do a Berman thing, I just got to get it out, and I feel like I'm not as tense anymore. Are you ready for these? All right, here we
all
go.
All right, let's go. Sure.
Well, actually, I just got this. I just got this one for you. This is my favorite one I want to get to. And TJ, you can tell Billy don't be a hero, but Tyler, you go right ahead. TJ. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, a song that you, me, and five other people.
Come on, I got in Bo. Come on, people know Bo Donaldson in the Haywoods. People know. Come on. It was on the Reservoir Dogs soundtrack. They mention it. People know it's Billy true. Don't be a hero. Tyshirt's right now going, I don't know. Bo Donaldson. How do you spell Bo? Is that B-E-A-U? Just Billy don't be a hero. You'll find it, Tyshirt. Promise.
Because Billy don't be a hero.
Yeah, that's it. That's how it goes.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, come on. You can be holding out for a hero. That's how it is.
I'm good on all that. Thank you.
But suddenly someone's a little upset tonight. So what's the matter? Didn't get to have quinoa before the show?
No, I just have Ricky Iglesias. That's all I need.
I can be your hero, baby.
That's all you need.
Well, only with the whisper to begin it. I mean, that's the key. Let me be a hero.
Oh. That's true, yes. But whispering on the radio is kind of, it's usually frowned upon.
Yeah, but you do that anywhere else. I mean, that's slide over baby hour material, even if it's 9:30 in the morning, baby. Come on now.
We'll keep you updated on the Celtics and the Heat. But I do want to say this as we welcome in our next guest. And normally, we welcome him in with his normal music, his walk-up music. However, we need to welcome him in with this because of a tweet that this person had back in July as we were getting ready for the Major League Baseball season. John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports 1, MLB Network insider, put this tweet out. Prediction: the Phillies will win the NL East. If they don't, I'll run the Rocky Steps in a Joe Girardi jersey. I expect an MVP year from Bryce Harper. Kutch's back. Here are my thoughts on the best overall division in baseball. But the prediction, the Phillies will win the NL East as we check in on the National League East right now. It is mathematically impossible for the Philadelphia Phillies to win the NL East. It will be the Braves. The Phillies will finish third if they're lucky. And someone will be in gray sweatpants, punching at meat, and running up the steps in a Joe Girardi jersey. And that man joins us now on the hotline. JP, how's it going, sir?
I am trying to see when I'll be able to make the travel arrangements to get to Philadelphia, maybe by driving, of course, in these driving times that we've got. But that was a beautiful opening, by the way. Thank you for reading my tweets, first and foremost. And yes, I am now in the market for a nice tight-fitting knit hat to wear for my outdoor run with the gray cut-off sweatshirt. I've already got the whole get-up ready to go, and I'm going to have to contact the Phillies to get a good jersey of my former Fox colleague, Joe Girardi. But, yes, I have to own this. And that's,
whoa.
I did that
wait,
last night. I tweeted the GIF. Do we say GIF or JIF? GIF,
say,
right?
Say however you want to say it.
Okay, GIF.
Yeah.
I tweeted the GIF of Rocky. That was my one response, bringing back my tweet from before. So I felt like I wanted to at least own it on social media, which I've done. But now I have to actually do it. And as soon as the world permits me to be back there in Philadelphia, I'm going to do it.
John Paul Morosi.
No, wait a minute. You buried the lead, though, Jason.
Yeah.
Like, he buried the lead that he could just call up the Phillies and have them send him a jersey.
So I'm going to buy
How
one.
How do I
from
pull
them.
That
okay,
off, man?
Like, I have to have pennants. Yeah, there will be an act of penance here. This is a process I must go through and pay the penance, buy the Girardi jersey. But I want to buy a good one. I want to go to Citizens Bank Park and get like a high quality. I'm going to invest the money needed. I'm going to get a nice jersey of Girardi's, and I'm going to run it up the steps.
And in the offseason, John Paul will also learn the skill of how to delete a tweet when you say something that you may have to actually do and people are going to bring back no matter how long it's up there. The two big things
so
on the
true.
John Paul Morosi
to-do
list.
And by the way, I was in bed last night looking at the tweets as everything was getting cycled through, and I was looking at my phone, which you're not supposed to do in bed because you're supposed to not look at the screen before you go to bed. It's bad sleep hygiene. But I see this happen. The Braves get the clincher, and I start going through my mentions, because I just do that every now and then, right? And so I'm on there, and like every single mention is someone retweeting that video. And so like it's a big scroll of my face saying something that didn't happen, obviously. And I showed my wife. I was like, look, all these people are responding to something I said. Like you care about nothing I say, and look at all these strangers who all of a sudden care about what I'm saying. So it was a very funny moment.
I also have a tweet here that I'll retweet it in a second. It says, if the Mets don't make the playoffs, I will send Jason Smith $5,000 in cash in small unmarked bills. I have that tweet up here, too.
Yeah, you better make sure that the I at the end of John Morosi in that one's not like an L. And so it's one of those faux John Morosi accounts. Not that anybody would
John
care
Morosi
about my witticisms to create a faux account, okay? I am not nearly a significant enough person that you would ever even think to do that.
And somewhere out there, someone listening just said, challenge accepted.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah, what happens to my White Sox here? They've absolutely fallen apart. And Lewis Robert, who was the hottest thing since sliced bread, is found the next round of play quite difficult, JP. I'm getting a little nervous over here.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And obviously, it's been on both sides of the ball for Robert, struggling, of course, 0-for-4 tonight, 3 strikeouts, batting average down to .220. Certainly, the rookie of the year conversation, which seemed to be going in his direction for a long time, is now open again, and maybe it's Kyle Lewis. But obviously, to your point, the White Sox have much more pressing concerns. Now their home field advantage is very much in jeopardy. Obviously, the division very much in jeopardy, as the Twins can pass them by the time the night's over. But a couple of tough, close losses, walk-off losses, back-to-back nights against the Indians, and now – it's up to a team that I wouldn't say that they haven't been challenged at all this year, but they've played pretty well since Tim Anderson came back last month. And it's been pretty solid sailing ever since then. And now they're in a rut, a real one. And they have to find a way to correct things before next week. Now, it can be done. I've covered teams that didn't play well at all down the stretch of the regular season and went on to have great success in October. But this is where, to me, Mike, a team that has never played in the playoffs together is going to have to find that common cause and purpose very quickly and really see who those leaders are and who the real standard bearers will be. I think it's still Abreu. I think he's been tremendous all year, as has Anderson. But this is a team, to your point, that seems to be a little bit listless right now, and the bullpen, which has been solid for a long time, is now part of the problem.
JP, now that the playoff picture is starting to take shape in basically throughout Major League Baseball, it's a day or two we're waiting for the Marlins or the Phillies to clinch, and we're seeing everything go here. With just a few days left, if I said to you one team in each league would not surprise me if they made a surprise run to the pennant, who would that team be in the National League? Who would that team be in the American League? It's like, okay, you're not thinking about it, but if they made a run to the pennant, I would not be surprised.
I think Cincinnati in the NL, because they're pitching, they're a team that has really underperformed for a long time. But I think it's a great thing in sports, and you guys could certainly come up much better than I could with other comparables in different leagues. But a team that's underperformed for a long time, but then finds a way to get into the playoffs as like a 6 or 7 seed, and then they're dangerous because they're now having the opportunity to exhale and just be the team that we all expected them to be. And that's what I think the Reds would be. And I also think that staying in the state of Ohio, same thing is true for the Indians to an extent. They trade Clevinger, which obviously made their team a little weaker in the near term, but Quantrill has been good. He had a nice start for them this week. I think that they're a team that, as they play better and better, and Mike referenced what they've done against the White Sox this week, they've got a good chance to have a run here. Their bullpen, I think, has been very solid. Oliver Perez, by the way, talk about a former Met. What a great career he has had. I think 19th season now in the major leagues for Ollie. So I think that there's a lot to like about the way they have played of late with the Indians. And if they get any level of production from the outfield, that's a really, really solid club all the way around. So I would say both Ohio teams that both have a chance now, and as we speak at the moment, would both be in the playoffs.
Now, obviously, everybody looking to the heavyweights, trying to get back to our World Series of the 70s and early 80s, and that's the Yankees, who've gone through a number of injuries trying to get through, the Rays atop the division. And then, of course, the Dodgers trying to get back for a third straight year and all the expectations. Clayton Kershaw having a fantastic season. What do you think about that collision course, or has that been derailed?
Still very possible, I think. And the Dodgers, I look at the way they're playing. I'm going to look very carefully, obviously, as Buehler returns from the IL. How does he look? How comfortable is he? That, to me, is going to be a huge question for the Dodgers and his overall health and what kind of load he'll be able to handle during the course of October. I think that Bellinger obviously really hasn't had quite an MVP-type season for him. We're not sure what Jock Peterson's availability will be due to family issues for the month of October, so that's, I think, a concern for the Dodgers. Gavin Lux was supposed to be a real reliable guy in this lineup this year. Hasn't been the case. So there are some things with the Dodgers that make you wonder a little bit. They're still the best team. But I think the gap between them and the rest of the league is smaller than maybe has been portrayed. I think they are the best team in baseball, I think. They should win the World Series. But their margin for error is not nearly as big as maybe it would appear. And obviously we're in this very unique playoff structure where all of a sudden if they lose game one to a team like the Giants or the Reds, It's panic. It's panic for a team that is under a lot of pressure. So to me, the Dodgers' greatest opponent is the Dodgers. It is themselves. Are they able to master the moment here, 8 straight division titles? Are they able to not get too, I think, too focused on what the end needs to be of this month for them, and just focus on game to game, pitch to pitch? Because there's nobody better if they are playing like themselves. I think on the American League side, the Yankees, Keys. They're a very unique team. They're getting beat badly tonight, but I love the way their lineup works. Frazier has earned an everyday chance, and with the rotation, Jay Happ, I believe, is going to be the key guy for them. If he can be as consistent in October as he's been lately, I love their chances to win the American League.
Go Cats.
Yeah, you can check out John Morosi on Twitter, at John Morosi. And I will say this, JP, seeing all the what people are saying about you, even though, you know, your Phillies prediction, you know, get ready to run the Rocky steps, it's fun seeing everybody and you interact with people. And even though, you know, you obviously didn't get the prediction right, I love the way that people are going back and forth with you, and they're really going to hold you to this. I mean, you're not going to be able to escape without running the Rocky steps.
No, I'm going to do it. Yeah. The thing is, and obviously we're in a very unique time in American life. Travel is not quite as easy as it has been in the past, but I do expect to be in Philadelphia at some point again in the next couple of years, and whenever I do it, even if by 2021, if it's like for the playoffs in 2021, and if by then the Phillies are like on their way to the World Series, I'm still going to do it because I promised that I was going to do it the next time I'm in Philadelphia. So it's going to happen.
I dig that there's no statute of limitations on this.
This is going to go into perpetuity. This will happen. I assure you it's going to happen. And, I'm going to make sure. But the key thing is I got to get a good, high-quality Girardi jersey. I'm going to buy it from the Phillies direct to the ballpark. It's going to be a good one.
Well, a lot of people want you to wear a Braves jersey.
I know that seemed to be that was actually were. If I thought of things logically, that probably would have been the easy the thing to do or say. But I had just gotten done working with Joe for a playoff series, and I just had confidence that he was going to make me look good. Now it's not his fault. I mean, who knew at the time that the Phillies bullpen was going to be as atrocious as it has been, and it really has not been good. So that's not Joe's fault, not really my fault, but I'm going to still wear it.
All right, wait, let me tweet that out. John Morosi on our show just said, completely Joe Girardi's fault. He has to run the Rocky steps. There we go. Really good that thing.
I've had a lot of baseball conversations with Joe, and from having worked with him a lot, I can tell you he knows, like, he has more baseball knowledge in his left thumb than I have in my entire body. I can assure you of that.
JP, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Good luck and a good luck training for the Rocky steps.
I have to get my stamina back up to at least do the steps. I think I can probably handle it, but I'm not quite in my high school athlete shape. I have to kind of get back to that.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck training. Eat raw eggs, right? That's the big thing, right? Eat raw eggs. Rocky ate raw eggs all the time.
That's right.
Well, just like Gaston in
In Beauty and the Beast.
Which, again,
we have watched in this house more recently than Rocky, just given the demographics that we've got here.
The Gaston diet. Oh, you'll be fine. Just, watch when you're falling from a high place. Thanks so much, JP, as always, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk
Love
to
the
you.
Conversation, guys. Thanks for everything.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. What did I say beginning of the show, Mike? It's nights like tonight. You look back at a playoff series and go, hey, a guy we weren't expecting like Tyler Hero scored 30. Right now, Tyler Hero has 30 points for the Heat. They lead the Celtics. 91-85, a TJ, the hero we all needed. 6:41 to go in the fourth quarter. This game has become so much fun. Hero, Jason Tatum now with 18 points after having a goose egg at halftime. Still a lot of time left, though. Still half the fourth quarter to go. We'll keep you updated on this as the Celtics either will make it a series or the Heat will get a stranglehold 3-1 lead. But as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the three big stories in the NFL today, and let's do this one first because, let's just do this one. Because we need more time for Tyrod Taylor. We need more time for Russell Wilson. So today, because we need a story about how crappy and how ridiculously bad and embarrassing the Jets are. A couple of Jets defenders did interviews today saying that their practices are slow and this is why the team misses assignments and this is why we don't play well on Sunday. I can't say it was crazy to hear it. It's the Jets. Anything is possible. But you had Bradley McDougald, who has been with the team for about 5 minutes, going, yeah, I don't know what it is. We got to practice with more sense of urgency. We don't practice enough like we should. Avery Williamson also said, yes, we need to do it a little bit better. And this shows you, this story,
is just a reason I'm going to tell you about how bad Adam Gase is and how he doesn't take responsibility for anything, and that's a really big issue. Anytime something happens, he says, oh, we have to execute better, we have to execute better, we have to execute better. That's what it is. Never his fault, right? It's executing. We don't execute as well. Well, when your offense stinks for this long, this is on the coaching, right? But here's what I mean by Adam Gase won't take responsibility for anything. After the game on Sunday, right, the Jets get boat raced by the Niners in one of the most embarrassing fashions. 80-yard touchdown on the first play of the game. They give up a 55-yard run on 3rd-and-31. And it's clear that the Jets were out of position. The 80-yard run, you had players out of position, which lays right into what the Jets players said about, hey, we practice slow. This is why we're missing assignments. So Adam Gase says right after the game, we got a lot of stuff to fix. We got to fix this, blank, blank. I'm mad. We got to fix this. Here is the first time. It's served up on a platter for you. Here are players saying, we need practices to be at a different level if we're going to make plays. And what does Adam Gase say? Oh, there's nothing really alarming here. I didn't see anything with practices, but if guys need practice to be a different way, we can do that. But I didn't see anything wrong with how practice was going. It's right there for you to take responsibility and say, okay, I see this. You got to lean into this and go, players say we need, all right, let's do it. You're right. Let's do it. But instead, he wanted to make sure, hey, I didn't see anything wrong. Don't think that practices are bad. Or we're doing this is not. He can't even take responsibility for something that's easy. To say, hey, we got to fix all this. Well, here's one. The players are saying, let's fix this right now. We got to make sure practices are a little bit more intense and there's more attention to detail. We have more sense of urgency. And instead it's, well, if we want to do that, that's fine. But there was nothing wrong with how we were practicing. You stink. Your team is terrible and they're non-competitive. How can you tell me the way we're practicing, there's nothing wrong with it? He won't take responsibility for anything. And that's a real big issue. I don't know how you become a head coach in the NFL and you don't take responsibility for stuff the way he's done the past year plus.
To be fair, these guys airing it out in front of the media, man, that I wouldn't necessarily be signing up for that too. I could blast guys and start going through their blown assignments. Like, no, you were slow, not the scheme, and start pointing fingers back. He didn't. He could have. I mean, it's not that he ever absorbs full blame. We know that. That's his MO. That's been his MO. That's not going to change. And to hear that practices aren't crisp and efficient, who the hell does that surprise? Look at the product he's put out on the field week after week. So I guess what do you want him to say? Yeah? It's on me. And now he's not falling on that sword. He's not that guy. We've established that long ago. No matter what, unless he gets the greatest consultant in the world, and you'd like to, give yourself that title sometimes, Jason, unless they walk in and just say, here's how you can win over the locker room and maybe change public perception a little bit. No, that's long gone. You know why? Tacos.
Oh,
tacos. Because of tacos, that ship has already sailed.
Oh, I mean, really, I mean, this is your shining example of reason number 742. It's clear the players and Adam Gase are not on the same page. How he still operates as the head coach, I don't know. I don't know how I make it another 15 weeks. I don't know how this team makes it 15 more weeks without saying, you know what, we're going to disband in the middle of the season. Like we're the Cleveland Spiders in the 1890s.
That was a pretty good reference right there.
You like that, huh?
I like that.
I was digging deep on that one.
One thing you can is you did have that crossbody throw from Sam. That was pretty.
More on the NBA, plus another big story out of the NFL. This is Fox Sports Radio.